Welcome to Sermons by Brad Tuttle. We are so glad you decided to join us today. We know you're going to be encouraged, inspired, and challenged by this powerful sermon. We're going to connect today into last week in the book of 1 Kings. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 17, and we're going to start in verse 8. 1 Kings 17, we're going to read verses and look at verses 8 through 16. Amen. The title of our message is Spending Time in Zarephath. Spending Time in Zarephath. Father, we just thank you for a great time of worship, singing unto you. You are faithful. You are true. Yes. You are always faithful. You are always true. I just simply pray over this word today, that as we study your word, your inerrant, infallible word, we pray over it. We hold it in high esteem. We regard it highly. We thank you for it today. We thank you for what it's going to do for all of us today. And I pray there would be great encouragement in this place this morning, that everyone in this room would know that God, you're a God that's right on the scene. Amen. And you're doing what you do for your children, to do a work in them and to take them to a deeper place. Let us all walk out of here understanding that you never leave us and that you never forsake us. So we thank you and we praise you. Anoint this time, empowered Holy Spirit, as we look at the life of Elijah. We thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody said together, amen. Amen. Well, Elijah just graduated from Dry Brook University. He trusted God to send the ravens. He trusted God to give him water from a little brook. He watched as God met his needs day in and day out. Imagine being fed by ravens. As we learned last week, Elijah just comes on the scene, this great prophet. He's a man of just great power. He's a really fast guy. He can outrun chariots and horses. Amen. So he's got some cool things going on in his life. He also watched as God allowed his brook to dry up before his eyes. You'd think surely things are going to get better for him now. Anybody ever been there? Surely things are going to turn around. When's my time coming? Yet when God speaks to him again, he speaks to him to send him to some other place. Because why? He's not done with him yet. He's not done developing him. He's not done stretching him. He's not done molding him into a man of God. Training isn't over yet. He may have graduated from Dry Brook University, but he's now about to enroll in Zarephath grad school. He will learn here in this school that God calls all the shots of life. He will learn that things are never as they appear. And he will learn that God can use the humblest of means to train his kids for his glory. That God can use anything he wants to use to show himself in your life. And remember that God intends to use this guy in a mighty way. But he's doing some training before he does it. So let's look at his life as we continue to look at Elijah and his training. Verse 8, we're going to see the call in verse 8. It says, then the word of the Lord came to him. So as Elijah sat there beside the dried up brook, like many of us maybe even feeling now, we wonder if God's even still around. I got some raven feeding and then I had some water, but now all that seems to be going away. Have I been abandoned by God? And have you ever felt like that before? Is God here? Is God working? Be honest. Is God with me? Does he hear me? Does he know where I'm at? But we know that God did not forget about Elijah. He knew exactly where he was. Genuine faith waits for God to reveal his plans. Genuine faith will sit by a dried up brook as long as it takes for the will of God to be revealed. May I say that again? Genuine faith waits for God to reveal His plans. But this is where most of us, if at one time or another, have got ourselves into trouble. We have the tendency to run ahead of God and take matters into our own hands. And some of us have done that, and you have made you've made mistakes that you then had to deal with the consequences of. Is anybody there? Has anybody ever done that? If so, say amen. We get into trouble here. Genuine faith waits for God to reveal His plans. God's will is that we learn to wait on Him even when He doesn't move on our schedule. God's will is for us to wait on Him even when He doesn't move on our schedule. So look at verse 9a. Now we see the command. He says, "Arise and go to Zarephath." And this is a strange command, because now he's going to be sent into a Gentile land, a Gentile nation. It's the country of Jezebel. It's a wicked land. It's a wicked place filled with idolaters. But interesting that that's the exact place that God sends His prophet. And besides that, to top it off, it was going to take him 70 plus miles of journey to get from Cherith to Zarephath, in territory that was ruled by Ahab, who was seeking him out to kill him. Anybody relate? God knows where to put you. He knows how to get you there. And it seems like this command from God absolutely makes no sense at all. But there's a lesson in this for us, that often the life of faith will lead through difficult pathways. That's the path of faith. Even when the command of God makes no sense, faith simply obeys God no matter what it is and no matter where it may take us, and without regard of the consequences. Even when the command of God makes no sense, faith simply obeys God without regard for the consequences. And you can see this truth displayed throughout the Bible, Noah and the ark, Abraham and Isaac, and Daniel and the three Hebrew boys. Not concerned about the consequences or what the people say, or why did God bring me here? Genuine faith just does what God says to do. In verse 9b, we see the challenge. He says, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you." This is going to bless somebody today, because it does me. Notice that he's again told to dwell there. He was told to dwell in Cherith. He's being told to dwell there. The word dwell means you're taking up residence. Go there and expect to live there a while. This is not a stopping place. This is not a one-day thing. You may be here for a while. He's supposed to go there until he receives new instructions from the mouth of the Lord. Don't you move until you get instructions from the Lord. Somebody say, amen. And oftentimes, God's times of testing do not come with a time limit attached. We definitely all want it to be less than a year. Hopefully it'll be less than 6 months. Hopefully less than a month. And couldn't he just do it tomorrow? But it's not that way. And with each day, we get older. And we just want to get through it. God has a purpose in mind for all of it. He sends us to the place and leaves us there until His work is finished. Is His work finished in you yet? That's what spending time in Zarephath is all about. But the real challenge comes in this. When He tells the prophet, "Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you." Imagine this great man of God. He's thinking, okay, it's been the ravens, the water dries up. Now God's sending me to this Gentile nation. I got to take this long journey, difficult pathway to get there. And then He's telling me that there's a widow there that's going to take care of me. In those days, widows were considered the poorest of the poor of the poor of the poor. And the first people that would die in a famine or a drought would be the widows. And he's telling him, go to Zarephath. I have commanded a widow there to take care of you. So now it's going from the ravens to a little bubbling brook to a widow who has nothing to give him anyway. God has a plan. So instead of saying, I have a widow over there in Zarephath and I want you to go take care of her, God says, I'm sending you to another place of testing where you must look to me for all you receive every day. I'm sending you to be taken care of by someone who has nothing to take care of you with. You're going to have to trust in me. I'm going to teach you a lesson, sir, young man, that you need to trust in me every single day, and I'm going to rip out of you any self-reliance or any pride, and I'm going to show you that I call the shots and that you must rely on me every single day. For Elijah, Zarephath was a place that would live up to its name. The name Zarephath means smelting furnace or refining. It refers to a furnace in which metal was placed so it could be refined, so the impurities could be taken out. So Cherith was the place where Elijah was separated and stretched, and Zarephath would be the place where he would be refined. He's doing a work in him. I'm going to stretch you. I'm going to refine you. And it's got to take different places for me to do it, but you've got to have the faith to wait on me to do it. So when the Lord works in our lives to reveal himself to us more clearly, he will send us to Cherith and he will send us to Zarephaths, where we must depend on nothing but him. We don't depend on our job. The job could go away tomorrow. We don't depend on anybody but God. We depend on God. Because it's in these places that God puts us that he shows us who's in control. I'm not in control. He's in control. I relinquish all of my control to him. There's nothing I can do to make anything happen unless he's instructing me. Otherwise, I get ahead of myself and I end up doing things that are not of God. They're not led by God. And there's consequences that come with that. Verses 10 through 11, we see a comfort here. It says, so he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Remember, this poor lady has nothing. Verse 11, and as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So when Elijah receives the command, number one, he doesn't hesitate. He gets up and does it. And then when he arrives there, he sees a widow picking up sticks. So God must have let him know that this is the one I'm going to use. So he speaks to her and asks her a couple things. He calls to her to fetch him a drink of water. Well, there's a lesson in this too. And the lesson is when your time of need arises, rest assured that your Father has already gone ahead to spread the table of provision on your behalf. He didn't send him to Zarephath without first making sure that his provision was there, even if it didn't look like there was any way that he would be provided for. Because you got to look at this awesome, the profound truth that he's using all these very simple, insignificant things to show him that I am the one that takes care of you. I can do it through a raven. I can do it. He didn't send him by a mighty, flourishing river. He sent him by a brook. And then he sends him to a poor widow with a son. Let me read that again. When your time of need arises, rest assured that your Father has already gone ahead to spread the table of provision in or on your behalf. He will prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, even. Verses 12 through 15a, we see this fantastic promise. It says, and she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I remember, he commanded her to take care of the prophet. But look at her words. And now I am gathering a couple sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. That we may eat it and die. She was expecting this to be, this little tiny bit, to be the last meal she was going to eat. Her and her son, she believed, were then going to die. Her son was going to starve to death. She was going to starve to death. Her and her son, huddled together, were going to starve to death. That's her mindset. And she's full of fear. But Elijah says to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said. But look at this interesting statement. But first, make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterward, make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did as Elijah said. So we see here that when Elijah asks the widow for this cake of bread, her fear is brought to the surface. She's thinking, this is all I have. My son and I, this is all we have for us. She's being presented with a test of faith. So Elijah didn't just go there. God just didn't send Elijah there for him. He sent Elijah there for her, because they both needed to learn something, that God is their provider. Because even though God had already commanded her to take care of his prophet, she still gets stuck in this fear of faithlessness. Has anybody ever been there? She has her eyes on the circumstances and not on the God who controls the circumstances. Write that down if you have a pen. She has her eye on the circumstances, not on the God who controls the circumstances. If you're freaking out right now and you're in anxiety and worry about something in your life, you got your eyes on the circumstances. You're saying, Pastor Brad, no, I don't. I love God. If you are in worry and fear, your eyes are on the circumstance. Because if your eyes are truly on God, there is no fear. Amen. This is the place where many people are living. We look at our problems, we look at our needs, we feel like we're trapped in this hopeless situation. How's this going to work out? How's that job going to come? How's my money going to happen? How's this going to happen with my health? All the different things and realms of life. And we're guilty of looking at the problem and not the provider. Now, your bank account may say one thing, but your provider will say something else. As much as Elijah went to Zarephath again for his benefit, he sent him there to help him, to help this widow learn a few things. Because real faith knows that God is greater than what the eye can see. Amen. Real faith knows that God is greater than what the eye can see. Real faith knows that God can make the impossible possible. Verses 13 and 14, when he hears the widow's story, she tells him this very sad story. He makes what appears to be, as we read, this really cold demand. He says and tells her to go ahead and fix her last supper, but to feed it first. Everybody getting the picture? I know you have nothing else left but yet to feed you and your son, and then you're going to starve to death, but go and make it and feed it to me. Say, what, God? What's that all about? Well, there's a principle here. Despite the scarcity of food, she fed God's prophet before she takes care of herself and her son. On the surface, it appears to be harsh and cruel, but this was a faith lesson about putting God first. And asking himself to be fed first, we're seeing the principle of putting the things of God first. God's man was the prophet. Take care of my things first. And then we're going to see, when you do that, man, I can make every meal a miracle. But put, that's why we tithe the top 10%. That's why Proverbs 3, 9, and 10 says, honor the Lord from your wealth or from the first of all your produce, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow. We put God first. We give, we do for God first. This so blessed me. Go ahead and take the little bit that you got and feed me first. Put the things of God first. Make me a little cake of it. Bring it to me. And afterward, make something for yourself and your son. And the obedience here brings forth the promise of divine providence in verse 14. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. But Pastor, I only got a little bit. Give to the things of God first. And watch what God can do. The point here is that God's call on all of our lives oftentimes makes demands of us that are very difficult to understand. But it is not mine to understand everything that's going on. It's not for me to try to figure out and understand everything that God does. It's simply my responsibility to put the things of God first. If I don't understand what's going on here, if I don't understand what, I don't focus on that. I put the things of God first. And if I do, and I really trust God's word, and I trust what God's word says, I know what's coming. I know what's coming. I've already been promised it. Get your eyes off the problem, y'all, and look at the promise, and look at the provider. Verse 15a, and she went and did as Elijah said. And she went and did as the man of God said. And when this widow heard the word of God, she went and did what she was commanded to do. And it must have taken great faith to use the last little bit of meal that she had. Somebody say, that's true. Think about it. The last little bit that she had to give it to a total stranger. But she did it by faith. And this is the place that God wants to bring all of us. Trust Him in every circumstance, regardless of what the outward appearances may look like. Yes. I hope this should be really encouraging somebody, because Elijah's no different than you. He's a man. God's using these very simple things to provide. So I ask you, have you reached that place in your walk with God? If you haven't reached that place in your walk with God where you are not moved, where you're obedient by faith, there's not fear, you're looking at the provider and not the problem. If you're not there yet, then don't be surprised when God leads you through valleys and uncertain ways, because He's got to train you. And until you get there, you better be guaranteed there's training coming. We can do no better than to learn to obey Him promptly, just like Elijah and the widow did. Verses 15 through 16, we see this fabulous provision. It says, and she went and did as Elijah said, and she and her household ate for many days. Verse 16 says, a jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that He spoke by Elijah. The Bible tells us that until the rains returned to the earth, the meal barrel and the jar of oil never ran out. Why? She was obedient to what she was commanded to do. When we're not obedient, there are dark valleys that we will walk through. We have got to learn these lessons to get our eyes off the problem and look at the provider and be obedient to do, even if it seems harsh, if it seems demanding, if it seems like, why would he ask me to do that? You've got to do that. Trust in him. Every time the widow went to get meal and oil, because of all that she did, because she learned, she came out of her fear. She moved in faith and obedience to God as the word came to her to do. Elijah went there in faith and obedience to God's command. And out of that, every time she went and pulled out to make something, it didn't run out. There was always more there. She took God at his word, prepared bread for Elijah. Because of it, God allowed the widow's son, and Elijah to enjoy plenty while all around them people were suffering. And yes, people were dying from this drought. But in the midst of it, because of faith, because of doing what God said to do, because of who they had their eyes on, they always had enough. For years, until it rained, every meal they ate was a miracle. Until it rained. For years. It wasn't. She thought she was going to make one last meal and her son were going to die. Starve to death. And for years, until it rained again. It didn't rain for years. We cry here because it doesn't rain for a couple months. It didn't rain for years. It didn't rain for years. So even if there is a drought, if you're doing what God has called you to do and you're putting the things of God first, I don't care how long the drought lasts, he's going to take care of you. He doesn't put these things as an errant word God breathed into the Word of God that we can't see them and learn from them. Years, every meal was a miracle. He took nothing and made it last until it was no longer needed. We serve a God who specializes in doing the impossible. Don't let this election bother you. Doesn't matter who it is. When you wake up on Wednesday morning, get your eye off the problem. Get your eye on the provider. Amen. He can take the little that's dedicated to him by faith and multiply it to enormous proportions. When you walk up and you give in these baskets, it's not just a matter of getting up and you're taking an envelope and throwing it in and going back to your seat. You're putting God first. God can take the little you do by faith. You say, well, my gift is insignificant. Nothing is insignificant to God. All she had was a little bit, just enough to live on out of one more meal. But she put the things of God first. And for years, it never ran out. Amen. Until rain came. So when God has brought you to the place where you're forced to trust in him for today's provisions, he has brought you to the best place that you can be. If you're in here today and you are literally, God, man, you know, I'm in Zarephath. I get it. I was by the brook and now I graduated to Zarephath. Thank you for bringing me here. Not sarcastically, Father, but thank you for bringing me here because I'm learning things here that I would never learn in any other way but to be here. Those are the times when we say, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, for where you brought me. Thank you for this time. Again, I say, if someone is living their life in sin, in disobedience to God, you've put yourself in a situation that you will deal with the consequences of that. But if you're someone who's living as unto the Lord, you're pressing in, you're working, you are doing what God has called you to do, putting the things of God first, God's promises are here. He will take care of you. So thank him for where you are. Remove the agitation. I said remove the agitation. And let yourself be filled with thankfulness. Thank you, Lord, for Zarephath. thank you for the brook because you're teaching me something and I want to learn it.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
If he's got you there, he has blessed you beyond words. And you may not think so while you're in it at the time, but when his path leads to a greater trial, it's a blessing to know that God always takes care of his children. When he takes you to another trial, he's going to take care of you there. And I ask and I close with just a couple questions. Where does this message find your faith? Where are you living right now? Does it seem that God is moving you from one hard place to another? Well, he's just refining you. And if you're a Zarephath right now, he's just molding you into the woman of God he wants you to be, into the man of God he wants you to be. You must remember that it's God's job to refine us. We must spend time in Zarephath. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Thank you for joining us at Sermons by Brad Tuttle. We pray this sermon blessed you, encouraged you, inspired you, and challenged you in your walk with Christ. Thank you for being with us. Come back and visit us anytime. God bless you.